It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought.
Get out.
Look
Lee,
back at the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean,
that was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think I finally, after 9 times we've heard that, I think I've figured out why I thought the drought was more fun. It's not that it was more fun. It's that reminiscing on it is more fun. Is that right?
Well.
Like, can you believe how crazy that was? Romo threw, what, how many picks and they lost?
Yeah, I don't know. That
when they're good and you look back on it and you can kind of laugh about it.
Well, it's easy.
It wasn't great in the moment.
It's easy to look back on.
Yeah,
and especially like, you know, on my ride in listening to, you know, CBS Sports Radio, and it's like you hear people around the league talk about like the quarterback situation across the league, and
yeah,
you forget, and I think right now we're in this like kind of particularly golden era of quarterbacks because we left what was probably the best era ever of quarterback play in the NFL with, you know, Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, you know, I mean that. Yeah. But isn't there like double the amount of quarterbacks at that level now than there was 15 years ago?
Well, they're different, right? They're more mobile than ever. They're more unique. Allen jumps over people. Peyton Manning wasn't doing that. Lamar Jackson outruns people. You know, no one other than Michael Vick was doing that, but he wasn't like an MVP. So, yeah, they're different at least. Are there more of them? I mean,
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow.
You know, like we're talking about like God level, like Hall of Fame type, like automatic Hall of Fame types.
Would we say right now there are
I think you're going to find that it's not that different, but volume-wise.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the middle that's better. I don't know. It feels like
that I could get on board with. The middle of quarterbacking right now, the bar there has come up from where it was before. That, you know, who's the 10th best quarterback in the league? Kyler Murray, what is he, like the 13th best quarterback in the league? Who was that in 2007? Was that Matt Castle? Or
yeah, right.
Was Jake Plummer that at that point? You know, I could listen to that.
Yeah, I also think there are more. It's maybe it's also because the league is in a position where there's a lot of young players.
Yeah,
like all of the great quarterbacks are under 30. There isn't that like kind of remaining old guy necessarily. Is the remaining old guy Rodgers?
He's trying to be.
He's not good.
He's trying to be.
I mean, he hasn't.
Russell Wilson are really trying to be the old guys.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't started a playoff game in 3 years.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Look, let's get into the heavy hitting topics right off the top here. The state of the league at quarterback.
Well, listen, we got some stuff today. Obviously, Sabres play tonight, but like there's some stuff from yesterday, some carryover, the Dudes on Dudes podcast, which is, you know, Julian Edelman and talking about how, you know, Diggs is, quote, still pissed at the Bills, which I don't even know what that means. Anything else good?
We got a lot to get to. We got a Texas guest coming up a little bit later on in the 8:30 segment because I really want to just bombard him with questions about the two receivers, Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond, both speed receivers. We'll get a little baseball preview as today's opening day in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Lot to get to on today's show. I want to go through the over under win totals with you across the league and the fact that the Bills. Figure out what you want, everyone. You want them being doubted or not, because this year, at least the starting point here, is they are favored to win the most games in the NFL this season by the over-under total.
Who is?
The Bills are.
Ah.
Are favored to win the most games in the NFL this year.
Even with the projected schedule?
Yep. You look at all the teams that have, there's a few teams that have 11.5 wins as their win total, and the Bills are minus 140 on the over, and nobody else is.
Are we back to 2022 again?
Where they were the definitive favorite?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't love that.
I did want to get to that. We can do that right here. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week. Nate is in today. Sal tomorrow. So that was 2 years ago. They signed Von Miller. It almost felt unanimous, didn't it? That they were the best team in the league, that they were the best roster in the league at least, that they were the... I mean, there are graphics from... Remember, there was one from the Rich Eisen show before that season where like five different analysts, whatever, picked who would win the Super Bowl, and all five of them picked the Bills.
Yeah.
Like that, even if they are this year not going to be doubted near to the same degree that they were last year, which I wonder if they'll ever be. It'll ever be like that again, where they're not the favorite in the division going into the year. And everyone is, not everyone, but a lot of people
learned their lesson on that.
Yeah, the sexy take was, oh, Bills maybe missing the playoffs. Huh? Like that was a sexy take before last year. And then they just proved everyone, no, there's no outcome where we're not going to be at the top of the division, at least, and making the playoffs and being about as good as we always are. So this year, what's the reaction so far? It's that they're, okay, we're going to make you how much of it's the division, too? Because they have the highest win total. They also, as some of these odds get released, we see are the biggest favorite to win their division in the league. So how much of it is just, hey, the other three teams in your division kind of stink. And maybe that's why they are, you know, favored to win more games than Kansas City is this year.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny because, you know, I guess you mentioned something yesterday that I hadn't necessarily considered in my thought process about this year and how they're, you know, approaching the roster, I don't know, rebuild because it's a new season. So they're rebuilding things, right? It's not a legitimate rebuild. But where I'm going with this is I hadn't necessarily allowed room to think about how historically efficient the offense was last year and how it almost has to regress a little bit and how you prepare for that type of regression in the offseason. I mean, you can kind of figure out how they're preparing, at least offensively, which is right now you let your number one touchdown receiving wide receiver. I don't know what that means necessarily because
Mac Collins.
You let go of Mac Collins. And I don't really know That's not, to me, a huge mover. And then Amari Cooper walked as well. Yeah. And you replace him with a younger separator. Other than that, you know, maybe we're waiting for that that third receiver or the number five receiver to be drafted in the second or third round coming up, or fourth round because they don't have a third round pick. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like right now the roster moves or how they've approached this offseason that there's a lot of concern built in or there's a lot of moves that have been built in that have almost hedged for that fact. That, like, is Josh Allen going to have another single-digit interception season and have the most efficient season in terms of turnovers and sacks ever? You know, I don't tell you I wouldn't necessarily bet against Josh Allen doing that again, but, yeah, I mean, Josh Allen had to have an MVP-level season to get you to the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's what I want to rely on. It's kind of what the Ravens have relied on, and that's why they really haven't gotten over the hump. It's if they have Lamar playing at an MVP level every single game, or else.
Yeah.
And the Bills got away, I'll say this, in acknowledging that they got significant contributions from their traditional running game, which is, you know, I mean, everybody at the station's been talking about for years, is like they can't just solely rely on their run game being Josh Allen and mostly it being off script and in designed runs. Like, they got more help, but it at the end of the day, like, I think that they need to find ways to win games in January with someone other than their quarterback, and they have not found a way to do that yet.
Right.
They, even with Josh playing at an MVP level, it the margin for error when you get into the late games in January, the AFC Championship game and even the divisional game, like, that's really where everything else has broken and Josh has sort of maintained this. So it's, you know, is it that they need another offensive weapon, like, you know, a young player, an Isaiah Bond, one of these young fast guys we've been talking about, you know, getting Josh a weapon to help him take the top off of defense. But, you know, I don't know that I feel the defense has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an interesting part to analyze here because I think you could ask questions about both. The offense, we know there is a baseline with Allen there that they can't bottom out. And, you know, it's interesting. I have trouble sometimes figuring out how to word how I see their regression from last year to this year with negative plays. Because I often actually put it the way you just did, which is they got away with what they did on offense because they didn't turn the ball over at all. No fumbles at all. Right, they went from like week five on without fumbling the ball. The running backs didn't. The receivers didn't. And Allen didn't throw interceptions. Six was his career low. Interception percentage by far was the best of his career, 1.2%. He was at 3.1 the year before that. He went on that crazy streak of not taking a sack. How long did that go for? Wasn't that half the year that Allen didn't take a sack in a game? So, getting away with it, it also kind of was the design of their offense, wasn't it? Like, they did, that's why I don't want to fully put it on to luck. I think there will be some regression. I'd still expect them to be one of the top teams in the league.
Me too.
Because their offense is kind of geared now to make less mistakes. They throw more screens. It's harder to throw an interception. It's impossible to throw an interception, really, almost, if you're throwing a screen. They do a lot of those. They are running the ball more, and you can't throw interceptions on a run play, right? And if those running backs aren't fumbling, you're not gonna be turning over the ball. Now, that might be where the regression is most likely, is the idea that the Bills' backfield and the receivers too, when they're carrying the ball, are gonna go 12 games or whatever it was without fumbling the football. Like, that just seems crazy to think they could repeat that. Allen repeating the level of success he did at not putting the ball in harm's way. And also, there's one thing that I would absolutely count on, which is he's not going to take sacks ever. Like, that is not something that regresses. I think turnovers could. Allen being this good at sack avoidance, combined with how good the line is, They might have some injuries on the line that they haven't had for 2 years because they've been insanely healthy. But Allen's the best quarterback in the league at escaping pressure. Like that to me is not changing. They
no,
will
I
not take that. Those are the negative plays they won't take. So what does all that mean, though? If they go from historically great at not turning the ball over and, you know, one fumble by James Cook and none by Ray Davis and one by Dalton Kincaid, six picks, and they go to nine picks, three fumbles by James Cook, and then two fumbles by other guys, that's regression. It's still probably going to be one of the better units in the league at not, you know, creating negative plays, but it will be regression. And I just still think that there has to be a little bit made up for that in other places. And this is a compliment to their offense, that the only place there is improvement to be had is the downfield passing game. That's it. It's the only area of their offense last year that they weren't good at, or great at even, and they were terrible at it. The defense, as you just mentioned, that is the unit that there are bigger question marks about, and there is much more room for improvement. And how would you answer that right now? How much better have they gotten on defense at this very moment, pre-draft? Because they don't have another corner right now.
Yeah.
I did see Rasul Douglas is still working out in Bill shorts.
He is. And that could always solidify, you know. Listen, at worst, it feels like if all else fails, they could just run that back. It wouldn't be the end of the world, but it really doesn't appear. If it was plan A, he would already been signed. It's probably plan C.
He looked a little old last year.
Yeah, he did. He did. Especially towards the end. He had that like injury halfway through the year, missed a couple of games, and then came back.
Yep.
And it just it didn't look the same. You know, maybe some of that too is the lack of consistency behind him over the top at safety position too. There was injuries and, you know, Bishop in and out of the lineup and Rapp, and
sure,
he was also injured a bunch. But yeah, like, and I'm not sure that I looked at this offseason as like there needed to be a big move. And everybody, you know, thought about Myles Garrett as this, right? And
yeah,
I never thought that bringing Myles Garrett in solved all of the issues in this defense anyways. I thought he certainly makes, he raises the floor, but I'm not sure that he did a ton, like, especially on defense in the NFL. I'm not sure he really raised the ceiling of the defense that much. He dramatically increased how bad they could not be. He raised the floor, right? He would have raised the floor significantly.
Yeah.
Does Bosa do that?
That's the tough part about saying that they've improved on defense this offseason, because Bosa's such a wild card. Like, you just don't really know what to expect from him. I don't know if he's going to give them five games and be injury-riddled all year, or if he's going to play 14 games and give them 15 sacks. To me, anything within that range is possible with Bosa. If he does give them the more optimistic end of that, he maxes out at what you think he could be. He plays almost the whole year. He misses a game or two. Maybe he plays a game where he's a little bit banged up, but for the most part, he's healthy. And he's the best pass rusher they've had.
Yep.
In a season where he's getting 15 sacks. You know, 14, 15 sacks, all the win rate stuff and pressure rate, like all that is, you know, top 15 in the league where he's been when he's been healthy. He's that level of good. What does it do for the rest of the defense? Does the secondary have better production because now they actually have a pass rush that's going to get after quarterbacks more often and quicker? A lot of their sacks over the years have been coverage sacks.
Yeah.
So you would like to think that there could be a trickle-down from Bosa hitting and being someone that could make everything else a little bit easier for the other players on defense.
If there's a trickle-down, to me, it would make more sense that the trickle-down happens at the defensive line level. I'm not sure that it necessarily happens behind the defensive line. Like
for Rousseau, like not seeing double teams.
That opens up Ed Oliver to get back to 2023 form, where he had 9.5 sacks, was one of the best interior defensive pass rushers in the league. Then last year, a really slow start, and he slowed, and there was an injury in camp, and like I would think that if you got that version of Joey Bosa, I think there's an effect across the defensive line, but like this secondary is going to be, right now as it stands, and even if, let's just say, for example, the Bills end up really not in a position to get one of the top guys, so they get a guy in the second round, and maybe it's the kid from Ole Miss, Trey Amos, who, you know, I know a lot of people like, or, you know, the kid from East Carolina's gone, and Brandon Morrison's gone. It's like, okay, well, you end up with a guy that you like. He's young. He's a second-round pick, but that's not necessarily a plug-and-play player on this team. I'm not sure, unless maybe a second-round pick can be a plug-and-play player. I just haven't really seen it yet with this team, and they've never been in a position where they've needed a second-round pick to be a plug-and-play player.
They've done it, I think, only one time that I can remember.
Osiris Torrance.
But he goes right into guard. He won that job, though.
He did win the job.
Ryan Bates was here and had a contract.
It wasn't like they had – it's not like the current cornerback situation where you basically don't feel like you have a starter there. And, like, Brian Bates had started games and you liked his versatility and you signed him to an extension. So, like, that was a player that was in your future, and then Osiris Torrance changed that future.
Yeah, there's one other. Looking back on their draft history, there's one other second-round pick that was plug-and-play.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Coleman was plug and play. He led the team in snaps like every game for the first 2 months of the season. They put him, well, except for the Jaguar game where he was late to a meeting. He was suspended for the first quarter. Coleman went right in.
Yeah.
Plug and play. There wasn't a lot of competition for him.
Kind of a first-round pick.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Like, it's kind of...
Right.
I
you're
get it.
Right. No, you're right. Like, a draft value chart would tell you that, too. That where the Bills are picking at 30, of course, is closer to 33 than where the Bills are... What's the Bills' for second-round pick?
48 and 62?
I thought it was 50-something.
53? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
20 picks later than where Coleman was. So, right, for middle of the second round or, like, not the first pick of round two, Torrance is really the only example of someone that just went right in
and
playing 100%.
Yep.
Like, guys have been rotational. James Cook was second-round pick. He was rotational. Maybe not at the beginning as rotational as people wanted, right, because of the fumble. Cole Bishop wasn't really rotational, right?
No.
Like, some of these guys haven't played much at all other than injury.
So they've as they enter the draft with the roster as it stands, will be the biggest job, the biggest uphill battle that Sean McDermott's had in his career and in the defensive backfield.
At the moment, I would agree with you, yeah.
And
they don't, other than Benford, even Johnson. I wonder
what if Benford gets hurt.
Right. Benford staying healthy is a thing. He leaves with concussions at the end of last year.
Yeah. Like what they it's not even that. To me, the primary story is you don't have a cornerback, too. The second storyline of that is it's the least amount of depth I've seen them have.
Well,
at a defensive position,
yeah.
And they signed the kid from Washington at safety. So maybe the depth is a little more unknown at safety because they're going to have Hamlin, who started a lot of games for them. I assume he's going to end up being the backup. I think they've got Cole Bishop being the starter this year over Hamlin, and then they got the kid from Washington. So maybe their defensive backfield, and I could take safety off the chart. Maybe it's
They have a guy at each.
They have a high floor, low ceiling at safety.
Yeah, they have a guy at each level where there's going to be probably three individuals that more than anybody are going to dictate what level of defense they're about to have. Three guys that are unknowns, that unknown commodities, in that we don't know how good it could be and how bad it could be.
Yeah,
Bishop is one of them. He could be coming in and making mistakes every fourth week.
Yep.
Like he did against Houston, where Nico Collins catches the ball over the top. And those are mistakes the Bills safeties never make. And yeah, it's possible that he starts letting those through. It's also possible that he doesn't. A year in the system, he's got it buttoned up.
Yep.
And he's a great athlete. For all, I've mentioned Nick Emmanuel a lot, the safety at the end of the first round, who has like a 9.9 RAS score. If you go back and look at the raw athletic score of Cole Bishop, he's like a 9.4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a bigger bodied safety that is fast, like an athlete that could be playing that position. Different type of athlete than they've had at that position. Different than Hamlin, for sure. And different than Poyer, right? Maybe Hyde was a great athlete, but he was a little bit smaller. That's one. And then whoever they draft at corner is two. And then I think Bosa is three. Because you just don't know what you're going to get. So, in the most optimistic sense, Bishop hits as a year two player. The rookie is good, and Bosa stays healthy. Then I feel like your defense has significantly improved. But what are your chances of getting all three of those things to happen?
Yeah, it's a lot. Asking a lot. I'll say this though. All right, let me pose this question to you, and then maybe this is something we can discuss on the other side. But like, I think about maybe a group of three players and trying to say, of the three, who is the most important that they take the, let me think of a good example of this, the Christian Benford year two step, the James Cook year two step, who else really had big jumps in year two?
Cook is the perfect answer for this.
So,
I'm
going to put a third-year player in this, but of these three players, which is the most important, takes that like legitimate step from, okay, high draft pick, to he's a top 10, top 12 player at his position, between Bishop, Kincaid, and let's just make it about Bishop and Kincaid. Or, well, Coleman. I was going to put Coleman in there too. Of those three, who is the most important one to take that I'm here step?
Yeah.
And it's probably Coleman. Or I'm sorry, it's probably Bishop, because it's probably the more important position of those three, the most important position that they need to have that type of player. But I might argue it's also Kincaid.
Yeah. It's a good question.
They really need every
Bishop
year,
plays a position that the head coach is like a whisperer of.
The thing that the Bills have been lucky with is they have had players in year two and year three really take steps. Almost every year, really take steps. And the group that could potentially take that step this year feels smaller than in years past.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. You got a thought on this? Give us a ring on how much do you expect the defense to improve? I want to go through the over-unders a little bit too. If you want to get in on how you feel about the Bills potentially being like the favorite of the league again, they are, at last check, they're tied with the Chiefs and Ravens in Super Bowl odds, right at the top. And the over-under win totals are out, and the Bills are right at the top of the list in the NFL as some of the betting stuff starts to make the rounds as rosters are set in. A lot to get to on today's show. We'll get to the Sabres game tonight, of course. We'll get to what's going on in the chat. They're hotly debating who's got the better hat right now in the first 25 minutes of the segment.
Yours is sweet. Mine's just from a golf course.
Baseball starts today, and Stephen A. Smith wants to fight LeBron James.
Yes.
All things that
also,
we're going to get to today.
Dak Prescott getting traded to the Browns?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. It was debunked, I think, already, but it was out there.
It was.
Yeah, let's get to like what that would have
meant. And they also, major thing, did you see they...
Oh, yeah.
They banned the nose wipe.
So I've got written down to get to competition committee rules. I should put in like parentheses, make sure you get to the nose wipe. Because of all the rules they're changing, kickoff stuff, Oh, nose wipe.
The nose wipe. Very important.
Get all that coming up. Stay tuned. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today and tomorrow. Back next week when I'll be off. Nate's in today, and this is WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.